Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going a little off topic today. This is not a great text in the Bible. Nobody submitted this, so forgive me, but I felt this was what the church needed to hear this morning. So Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be starting around verse 10. And this morning, we're going to be taking a behind-the-scenes look at the invisible world. A very real, a very powerful world. And you know that we are not human beings living in a spiritual world, but rather we are spiritual beings living in a human world. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we are spiritual beings created by God, eternal, living in this human world. And behind the scenes, there's an invisible life, an invisible world in which we are all engaged. And it is critical, a critical understanding of this world, that our faith, our family, and our very future is at stake. And that's why the scripture tells us that we are in these days are to put away the darkness and put on the armor of life. We're to shake off the lethargy and the apathy and push back the darkness by engaging in spiritual warfare. But we dare not fight this fight alone, do we? We must fight in the Lord because the battle is the Lord's. And we dare not fight without the equipment, the armor that is needed to defeat the enemy if we're going to win this good fight of faith. Now, Pastor preached on this several years ago. In fact, I tried to go back and see where it was. I couldn't, but I think it's been a few years. But he said that Jesus had defeated the darkness. He has defeated the devil at the cross, and by the power of his resurrection, the enemy is done. One day, Jesus is coming again, the warrior king, to finish him off completely. But until that time, Satan is alive and well. And he's living amongst us. And behind the scenes, he is working along with that invisible host of hordes. They're attacking us. They're the hordes of darkness. And while we have victory, that does not mean that we do not suffer satanic attack. We do not suffer, it means we do not suffer demonic attack. And so we must look through the lens of Scripture, through the Word of God, behind the curtain, into this invisible world, because what you can't see can hurt you. Let me repeat that again. What you can't see can hurt you. The devil means to do you harm, and therefore we must not be unaware of our spiritual enemy and our spiritual engagement, this battle for life itself. And with that, the same sense of readiness, knowing that we're fighting for our families, fighting for our faith, fighting for our future, that we all must be in this battle. It's not enough to show up at church and be an audience. God has called us to be his mighty army. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, would not allow the great hymn, Onward, Christian Soldier, to be sung in any of his revival or evangelic crusades that he was a part of. And they were asked why. He says, can you imagine anything less like an army than the church? I don't know about you, but that's kind of a sad indictment upon us if you think about it, you know. But God has called us to battle. God has called us to battle. So in one sense, this message today is kind of a call to arms. It is a battle cry. It is a winnable war. But we must prepare a divine defense. And that divine defense is seen in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. So let me start you at verse 10 and we'll go on. Chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, against this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, be aware of verse 13 there. It says heavenly places are not descriptive of heaven here or of the throne of God, but rather the invisible spaces, the heavenly places around us and all around us. And verse 13 goes on and says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. That these days are critical, and yes, they are evil, folks. But that you may stand in that evil day, having done all to stand firm. Now, yesterday, not only was it Logan's birthday, but it was also the anniversary of the death of Martin Luther. And it reminded me of it because his last words to his friend Justus Jonas, or his actual name was Jodasus Cook. Now, Dylan, where are you? He spelt his name K-O-C-H, so I think we've put that to rest that I spell my name wrong. So, I don't know if he's of any relation, but I'm going to look it up. But his friend asked him a question, to which his answer was, and these were his final words, an emphatic yes. We are beggars, and this is true. And the question was whether or not he wanted to die standing firm on Christ and the doctrine that he had taught. And he had an emphatic answer because he knew the battle that he was waging. He knew the battle that was set forth, and he wasn't going to back away from it. He set an example then and there that all of us must be a part of. We must be in the battle. There's no sidelines. There's no, oh, I'll jump in when it's time. No, it's now. The time is now. And again, we're told in this passage of Scripture to stand, to stand, to stand. To withstand against the works of the wickedness of the devil and his demonic powers and forces. But to stand is not to stand still. We're not to stand still. But it is to stand strong. It is to stand in resistance. Just as a linebacker on a football team would take the proper stance and be prepared for action to defend the territory, we are to resist the devil. We are to stand against the enemy, and we are to take a strong stand. And even when we don't understand, there are many things about the spiritual war that we don't, but about, and even about the enemy himself, the mysteries of iniquity that we don't understand. But while we don't understand this, we are to withstand, knowing that Satan himself is moving across this world. And we're to have spiritual weapons in order to defend ourselves and to defend our families and to defend our future. And this divine defense is described as the armor of God. The Bible says we're to take up the armor of God, but or put on. And do you see that there? We put it on. That means this is not something that we allow God to do for us. This is not what God does for us. It is what we are doing by taking up the armor. There are six pieces all protecting us as we stand, and each one provides us strength in order to stand. We are not to pick a piece here and there. We're not to put on a helmet, but not a breastplate. No, we are to put on the entire armor of God, all of it. There is no place, no position in our lives that must be unguarded. We are to be fully armed. If I go to battle, I don't want to show up to battle with a butter knife against an AK-47. I don't know about you. I want to be prepared. I want the whole armor of God. And this armor is not for style or profile, but it is for protection. It also covers not only the front of the soldier, or I'm sorry, it also covers only the front of the soldier. If you look back in Roman times, you notice their armor, it protected the front, but not so much in the back. Why do you think that is? I don't go into battle with my back facing them, do you? Remember Paul in writing the book of Ephesians while he was in prison, so he would have been looking at the Roman soldier, chained to a soldier almost hourly. And while a soldier would not have been in full battle garb, he began to think under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of what a soldier appeared to be and how that applies to a metaphor or an illustration. And that illustration is of our Christian life, the battle. You can see that the soldier is standing strong, decked out in the armor. So, we also have a spiritual armor, and each piece is essential. We're going to take each piece, and I would encourage you to take notes if you can. Write these down right in the margin of your Bible. And let's together put on the armor of God that we may fight the good fight of faith, which we will win. Number one, he says in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." Now, the belt in a soldier's garb obviously fitted around the midsection. It held everything together. The pieces of the armor included the breastplate of righteousness or the breastplate of the Roman soldier. It held that together. The belt also contained weapons for warfare, as in the soldier's sword would be hung on that belt, and other implements of war and of fighting. Also, the soldier would often wear a long tunic, and so when the soldier needed to go to battle and fight, he didn't want to be running in a dress, so he would gather up the tunic and gird that up into his belt. Okay? He would cinch up that belt, and then he was ready for battle. Also, so that's the picture that we have that we gauge in the spiritual warfare. We are to put on this belt of truth because this belt of truth holds everything together. The belt of truth is the believer's integrity because we are protected against deception. And we stand against deception. If you are not supported with truth, you will lose your life. The belt of truth supports the core of who you are and what you believe. Truth, absolute truth, biblical truth, most importantly, God's truth. Satan attacks with lies and errors and deception. We often live with secrets, but God says we are to live with truth. Get the truth straight. Because if you don't have your belt tightened with truth, the inner core tightened, the inner you of you strengthened, then everything else is just going to fall apart. Everything hangs on the truth of God's word. Now, maybe you're working with a trainer, weight training or physical training of some sort, and you've heard your trainer talk about your core, right? Heard about him talk about your core. And the whole goal is to get your core stronger, right? In any physical activity, you need to have your core strong in order to be where you need to be. You know, there are those who walk around with back pain. I know a lot of you could raise your hand and say, yes, I have a lot of back pain. Well, it would probably go away if they quit playing golf, probably. At least that's what they tell me. Quit playing golf. But really, you got to understand that the back is not the problem. Your back is not what's giving you the problem. You don't have a back problem. You've got a front problem. And if you want to help your back, you need to strengthen your core. Okay? And so in this spiritual battle, strengthen your core. That includes standing for truth before your friends. Remember, it's our goal to advance the gospel, to advance the kingdom of God. And so we stand for truth before our friends, before our family, and we preach the truth. God's truth to ourselves. Now, this is a crazy, violent, insane world, no doubt, in many, many ways, and demonic powers are on the loose. I would be personally frightened. I would be frightened for my family. I would be frightened for your grandchildren and their future were it not for what I know and you know. And that is the truth of God. It is what I know that strengthens me in the inner person or the inner man. So this is why I preach the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ to myself. I preach it every day because we stand in this truth. Don't go to battle without your belt on. You'll lose your pants, and you might lose your life. The second thing is, going on in verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, obviously this is critical to a soldier because the breastplate covers the heart, the visceral organs, the vital organs of the body, and therefore the breastplate is critical to staying alive and winning the battle. Now, police officers know this. I was just reading about an officer named Mike Gurley who was a Dallas police officer for many years. He said he never put on his uniform without putting on his vest. Now, I've done some reading this week, and tragically, some police officers, because it was either too hot or it was uncomfortable, not wearing a vest and paying a big price for not wearing that vest. To put it more lightheartedly, though, somewhat serious way, I mean, I guarantee you quarterbacks in the NFL do not forget to put on that flak jacket. Why? They're going to get hit. Hey? Now, so we're to put on this breastplate, which represents the believer's purity as we stand against defilement. It protects us against that defilement. Now, the breastplate of righteousness. What is this righteousness? We are righteous in Christ. This is not self-righteousness. This is not striving. Our weapons are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So we stand not in our own strength, but we stand in the strength that is Christ. But what Paul is talking about here, what the Bible is telling us here, is to apply this righteousness. Just as you put on the armor, you're to put on and imply the righteousness that is in Christ. In other words, to live in purity and to live in devotion, to live in godliness, we must live the right way. It's right living. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life." So we put on purity and we ask God to protect us from defilement. Satan is a dirty, dirty animal, folks, and sin is a violent, seductive power. And the devil only needs a little crack to get in. Y'all hear that? Who is that that knocks so loud? The answer came, just a little sin. So I opened the door and sin, and all hell was in. Don't give the devil a way in. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Nobody started out to be an addict. For some, it was a click on the mouse of the computer. And now all hell is in. For some, it was just a little flirtation. Now all hell is in. For some, it was just a little anxiety. Now with fearful force, the bondage has taken over. I'm telling you, we're in a battle. Get dressed up every day. If I were to ask you, why do you share your faith? Or why don't you share your faith? Because many Christians do not ever share their faith. If we're in an army, we should be advancing the gospel. We should be talking about Jesus. We should be sharing our faith. If we're in the army, we don't sit back. We don't send armies over to other countries just to sit there, smile, and say, "Oh yeah, we're here." We do something. We advance. We're there for a purpose. We are here, sitting here today, for a purpose. If you're unaware of that purpose, you need to get a clue. Need to get a clue. You know, some say, "I don't share my faith, not because I'm afraid to, or because I'm intimidated, or because I don't know the gospel." But so many of us would have to say, "I don't advance the gospel because I'm not living right myself." That's a problem. How are we to advance the gospel when we don't know the gospel? Not living the gospel. We just put a roadblock in front of us before we even got started. We've allowed Satan to neutralize our witness. Maybe even nuke our witness. You don't have a witness because you're not living the right way. Again, I'm not talking about legalism or self-righteousness. I'm talking about putting on the righteousness that we have in Christ. God gave us this armor and the power to stand. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Paul talks about this mighty power that we have in Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, and you can note that for later. But what is this power that we have to resist the enemy, to resist temptation? Is it some Mickey Mouse power that it has? No. It is the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave and raised him up to the throne on high. This same power, this is the strength that is in every single one of us. Every single one of us. You have that power in Christ. But it takes discipline. It's not just calling for an exorcist to get rid of some demons, but rather to discipline yourself in the mind and in the Word of God. But there's something else. There's not only the belt of truth, which is the believer's integrity and holds everything together. Not only the breastplate of righteousness, which is the believer's purity, protecting us against defilement. But then notice in verse 15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, a Roman soldier had to take care of his feet. There were mountains to climb, there was territory to take, there were obstacles to overcome. And it was kind of like guerrilla warfare, hand-to-hand combat. And so your shoes and your feet had to be in good condition. Anybody who was in the service knows you took care of your feet, right? You took care of your feet. It was important. Sometimes enemies would prepare booby traps with long pointed sticks that soldiers would step on and pierce their feet, and so on. So it is vital that the soldier's feet be in good condition and therefore have good shoes. Now, the hobnail boots of a Roman legionnaire or the sandals, they were cleated, if you will. So it was the Air Jesus shoes they had, I guess. You know, not the Air Jordans, but the Air Jesus they had. You know, they had cleats. Okay? Now they were strong so that a soldier could stand and that the soldier could move forward. The soldier could be hostile and mobile. Okay? And shoes were needed to do that. You know, I love the stories about John Wooden. You know, those who know who he is, he's the great basketball coach of UCLA. And he taught his players, these great giant 7'5" players, how to put on their socks and their shoes. And it's interesting. Why would he do that? Well, and as you had to, if you played for Wooden, you had to put on your socks the same way and your shoes the same way, because he knew if you didn't put on your socks the right way, if they crumpled up, you'd get a blister, and a blister would take that 7-footer out. A simple little thing like that would take him out, and he knew that. One of the popular injuries in the NFL today, you've heard it all the time, turf toe. And I bet you 90% of you in here probably couldn't tell me what turf toe is. Guess what? I don't know it completely either. So, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I know it's bad, because if your toe is bad, you're not running very far or very fast. So you have to protect your feet. Now, today we have all of these athletic shoes. And not so long ago, all we had were the Converse All-Stars. And guess what, folks? They're back in style again. So all the youth, I see them wearing now, too. So makes me feel older, too. There's a shoe for everything. There are shoes for every sport and mixtures of shoes within the sport. Because why? An athlete needs to be braced for action. An athlete wants and must be ready for action. And therefore, this speaks of the believer's stability. It gives us stability and protects us against discouragement. Oh, there's that word, discouragement. Who in here has been discouraged? Or maybe you are discouraged. Happens on a daily basis for me. How do you deal with that discouragement? You got to have stability. You got to know where you stand. You got to know where you are. You got to know the people around you helping you make that stand. But that doesn't make it easy. You see, this, of course, the peace with God is knowing that our future is secure, that we have peace with God. That's my stability, knowing that God is with me. We know that there's nothing ultimately the enemy can do to destroy us because we have that peace with God. Our peace is made. But it also refers to the peace of God, and that peace of God in all circumstances. It's not the absence of fearful circumstances or difficult circumstances, because they are ever present. Amen? They are ever present. That stability or standing strong. Remember, I said at the beginning of the message that it's not standing still. It's standing strong. You say, well, I'm not strong, Pastor. I'm weak. Yet, but in the power of Jesus Christ, you can stand. Yes, you can stand. But the shoes of the gospel of peace not only refer to our stability in Christ, but our mobility in Christ. Notice he talks about our readiness to share the gospel of peace. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 10 when he says, how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel. You know, I love the story of Acts chapter 8 when Philip, the godly deacon who was led out in the wilderness to share Christ ultimately with an Ethiopian. And when the Spirit of God moved on that godly man's life, the Bible says he ran to that chariot. He didn't walk. He ran. He ran to witness to that man. How many of us are running to share our faith? How many of us are running to share the gospel? It's part of that discouragement, isn't it? Excuse me. See, that's what we're talking about here. Be swift, my feet, to action. Be jubilant, my feet, because we stand in the peace of God. We run in the peace of God. And like I said, the devil wants to discourage us. Don't let him do it. Believe me when I say that I'm preaching to myself as well here. You're grounded in the gospel, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding in his promise perfect peace and rest. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed upon you. Isaiah 26. So, we put on the belt of truth. That's the core. That's the truth. That is our stability and our integrity, or rather, our integrity and truth. And we put on the breastplate of righteousness, and that is our purity. Then we stand against defilement of any kind. We put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. This is our stability and our mobility as we stand with the gospel, as we run with the gospel. But see, then he speaks again in verse 16. In all circumstances, whatever you face, take up the shield of faith, of which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. That is, take up the shield of faith, which is the believer's certainty. We protect ourselves against doubt when the flaming, fiery arrows of hell are falling upon us, but we put up that shield of faith. You see, the Roman shield was about 2 feet by 4 feet, so you can kind of get a picture of what we're looking at here. And it was made of leather and metal, and you could literally hide behind your shield. And when an army was under attack, they would place their shields together, hinge them together, and the entire army could get behind those shields. And that's an important lesson to remember, isn't it? That we are to connect our shields, that we are in this battle together. When our shields are held together as we come together in this place today, I trust that we hold up our shields of faith and that the army is strengthened against the assault of the enemy. That's why we're here. We're here to praise God and understand that he protects us. Well, he gives us those tools to do it. So we must work together. I don't know about you. I'm ready to be a gladiator now. How about you? Okay, but being a gladiator is scary. It's scary being a Christian sometimes, and those arrows are flying at you. Arrows of anxiety, arrows of lust, arrows of sinful pleasure, arrows of addiction, arrows of fear itself. You can name many of them. These fiery darts, they're missiles from hell. But you put up the shield of faith because this is the victory that overcomes this world, even our faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't help from seeing those arrows come against you. You can't help it if the devil decides to send fiery darts against you, but you can keep it from starting a fire. Put up the shields of faith. Put up the shields of faith and quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And when you believe, and this isn't intellectual faith, this is fighting faith. Same kind of faith that Paul talked about when he was going up against the devil himself. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Hold up that shield of faith. There's two final pieces of armor. And actually, I'm going to cover that later this evening. And as we talk about the battle for the mind. And he said, put on the helmet of salvation, the helmet of deliverance, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we put on the helmet of salvation, we're putting on the helmet of victory, or rather of security, as we stand against disaster, because we have a hope in him. The helmet of salvation. And we'll talk about that later this evening. And so finally, this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, leave you with this. If you can say today, I know that I have trusted Christ as my Savior. I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. I've confessed him as Lord and Savior. I know that if I died today, I would be with him in glory. I know that my sins are forgiven, all of them. And therefore, I know that I'm saved. Not because of anything I have done, because of what Christ and Christ alone has done for me. I know that I am saved. And furthermore, because I am saved, I have publicly confessed my faith in Christ. I have followed him in the testimony of obedience and baptism, having been baptized since I believed in Christ. And furthermore, I'm actively serving him in the fellowship of his church, his people, his mighty army. If you can give me that testimony this morning, would you say I'm in the army? Amen. Now, some of you maybe didn't say this, or maybe you did, and you went along with the crowd, but you don't know for sure. You don't know that you're saved. You don't know Christ is your Savior. Maybe you're lacking in assurance. You think so. Maybe so. Well, I hope so. That's not good enough, is it? Or maybe you're the kind of person who would just straight up and stand up and say, look, I'm not saved. I'm certain I'll bust hell wide open because I don't know Jesus. I want you to have a chance to invite Christ in your life today. Christians, I want you to do some spiritual battle right now. I want you to be praying for people all around us. Pray against, stand against the work of the enemy in unbelievers' hearts. And if you will receive Christ today, invite him by coming forward today. See, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, Lord, we call upon you this morning. And then having called upon your name, we promise to live for you. And so as we pray, Lord, give us the courage and the strength to stand up today and to stand up in our faith and to go forward and trust you openly. You see, Lord, there are others who need to get into the army. They need to get into this church. They're not content anymore to be in the audience or to be a deserter in this army. They need to come and join this church. They need to get into the battle with us. They need to fight the good fight, that good fight of faith with us. They need to live for Jesus with us. You see, we need each other, Lord. Let us link our shields of faith together, and let's storm those gates of hell together. We give this all in your glorious name. Amen.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.